Hi, this is Emma with Auroville Radio. So the nature of my stay here in Auroville has been to study and learn about community and sustainability. Back in the United States, I'm studying these topics at university, but there's really no better way to learn than by living it, getting to know the nature of such things through experience. So in deciding who to interview for Auroville Radio this week, Marty, a longtime Aurovillian, seemed a natural choice as someone I could learn from. I also felt the need to share with others what she would have to say. She was drawn to Auroville, like many others, because of its spirituality, community, and environmental consciousness. Living here for most of the year, she uses her life experience to represent communities and NGOs in the realm of international politics, working with the United Nations and sitting on the board of the Global Eco-Village Network, among other things.
I'm Marty. I came to Auroville in 1983. Well, in essence, I thought I was just traveling through. I didn't understand that usually you come to Auroville when you're ready and Auroville is ready for you. But I was just passing through, and I was caught. I became caught up in this whole concept of living in community and what that really means. And I got interested in Auroville in terms of all of the environmental, the potential for environmental projects. And the mother, one of the founders of Auroville, the visionary behind Auroville, has said that Auroville should be the city the earth needs. And for me, that seemed to be one of the most important issues we're facing in the world is this whole question of the environmental degradation and the survival of our planet. And Auroville is a place where we can create small solutions to big problems.
Marty is a wealth of knowledge. I enjoyed talking with her and learning more about the many facets of community and why Auroville in particular is a special place. She agreed to meet with me, so we found a shady spot outside of Town Hall and talked about Auroville as a community and eco-town, this pivotal moment we're a part of in human history, and how Auroville can be a world leader, using the creativity here to come up with solutions to some of the world's largest problems.
For me, first of all, Auroville isn't an eco-village, but we'll get to that afterwards. I would say that what the community glue, what's really important if you're setting up a community is that there's a charter, like Auroville has a charter, okay? And our charter is very simple. It says things like Auroville belongs to nobody in particular, but to humanity as a whole. To live here, one must be a willing servitor of the divine consciousness, you know? And then there's something about unending education, a living laboratory of evolution. Now, what happens in Auroville is we get into conflict a lot, you know, because in fact it's a place where all the different ego archetypes of the world are probably represented. So whatever you haven't worked out in yourself, either somebody's going to, you know, push your buttons or you're going to see it manifested in somebody else. And when you live in community, you don't. It's not like when you go to work in a big city, and if you don't like your working team, you change jobs. When you live in a community, every day it's the same people, and you somehow have to find creative ways to all live together. And one of the things that helps a lot is having a charter, understanding that there's a vision everybody has agreed to, and a vision that every time that something doesn't work out, you can go back to that vision and see why it's important to make the effort. So understanding why you are in community, or why we are in community, I think is the first and most important thing. Now, some of those goals can be things like wanting to live ecologically. Living environmentally, let us say. This could be one of the goals of living in community. Being with people who have the same views of how to bring up children. What's important when you bring up children? How important is math? How important is it that kids learn courage, integrity, etc., you know? That they're well-rounded, that they have maybe experiential education instead of just rote learning education. There could be many reasons why one would choose to create or live in community. I think for communities to be credible today, they need to be environmentally sustainable. And they should also be socially and economically sustainable in the sense that we have meaningful livelihoods. Because if we create community but we have to run off to the cities all the time to earn money, that's not really sustainable. If we create communities where we have the same environmental hazards that exist elsewhere, that's not sustainable. So we need to find ways to actually walk our talk and see that all our values are manifested as well as possible.
Marty is also on the board of the Global Eco-Village Network, a network for communities and individuals to connect and share ideas about living sustainably and cooperatively in daily life. It's Connecting Communities for a Better World.
So the Global Eco-Village Network, I arrived in Finnhorn, loved the people. And that's for me the first sign, is when you like people. And I heard about all these amazing places. I saw Findhorn. I heard about the farm in Tennessee. Damanhur, this incredible community in near Torino in northern Italy. And the whole thing just spoke to me in a way. And I thought, yes, Orville should be a part of this. So I signed us up. And I didn't ask anybody because they would have said absolutely not, or they would have debated it and said and decided they couldn't decide. In any case, what I said from the beginning, I just signed us up and I said, well, Orville, it's not really an eco-village, we're too big for that, but we're a cluster of eco-villages, because that's somehow how Orville started in all these different communities like Discipline or Certitude. Some are just residential communities, but many of them were farms or green group or green project communities to begin with. So I tried to see it in that light, you know. And what I feel about Orville is that it's basically a cluster of eco-villages which has become an eco-town in the sense in which that's where we are in our progression at the moment. But we've got a lot of eco-city values as well. So we have values in the three places. We have some eco-village values where we're, in some ways, we're quite a tight-knit community where many of the principal players know each other and, you know, and we're a family here, even though we're a rather large family now. One of the things we say in the Jan is, and maybe you say this too because you've worked with Dan Greenberg for the Living Roots, is that if it isn't fun, it isn't sustainable. That's, for me, a really important thing. Life should be fun. It should be a pleasure. And what we need to do, you know, what's important is that we manifest our real being, and manifest our dreams. And one of the magic things that I've discovered is that happiness comes from being of service to others. That's why in the Orville Charter where it says be a willing servitor of the divine consciousness, there's something in that that has this is spiritually uplifting and also is something that has this sense of making you happy inside, you know? And what you find in the local Tamil people, I don't know how much contact you've had with them, but you do something, if they do something for you and you're happy, immediately, they're doubly happy, you know? There's this kind of amazing sense of sharing, you know, the deep and positive moment together. And I love that.
In 2009, Marty had the distinct honor of being a keynote speaker at the Climate Change Conference in Copenhagen. It was a powerful experience for her, a very personal call to action.
I talked about from Rio to Copenhagen, mainly the fact that very little has changed in all these years, and we've been over-depending on institutions and governments for the changes that can only be actually pushed through, encouraged by citizens' groups and by people themselves. Because one of the big problems with the major institutions and governments is they have a lot of vested interests, and their economic demands or political economic demands are such that they don't usually come up on the right side of environmental questions. So it was a very interesting conference. I came back from it really depressed because I sat in on climatologist panels and I realized that not only is it imminent, I guess, not only will the changes come very soon, but they're also going to be give us a very steep learning curve. So I came back feeling we should mobilize for this, and that the other thing that would be necessary too is that we start preparing psychologically and spiritually for what all of this is going to mean. Because what's interesting about Oroville, we had the mother in Sri Aurobindo, and the mother's vision was that Oroville would be a place of karmic yoga, where the activities would be the way in which we would reach a higher level of spiritual consciousness. And that Sri Aurobindo, the Indian philosopher, who of course is very important for India in the sense that he was a independence revolutionary and a great writer, he saw and spoke of the evolution of a new species, and that new species would bring a new world to bear, to birth. And what it looks like to me is that we may actually go through a transmutation of the species. And I don't know if you saw Avatar, but you know, I thought it was very interesting. Here's a film that over a billion people saw, and it's about exactly the subject, transmutation of the species. In the end, the protagonist, the principal character, becomes another type of being. And so somehow this may be what's required of us. And given that the oceans may rise and all the rest, you know, we maybe have a choice between fins and wings. And that sounds very wacky, but it's not as far off as, you know, people might imagine. So, you know, we're going to be facing huge, huge challenges. And how we deal with these is going to be interesting. And I feel in Oroville we need a climate change task force. Because Oroville is exactly the kind of place where we could begin working on prototypes, on food security, building prototypes for shelters, not houses, but shelters that we might need to be able to survive the, you know, heavy winds and hot sun and heavy rains as well. Living in community, for me, sustainability is also about creating what can be replicated, because that's what the planet needs at the moment, is small solutions to big problems. It remains to be seen what will happen, but what one of the things Sri Aurobindo talks about is, he says human beings don't change unless they're forced to. The major changes don't happen unless we are made to change, because we get into comfort zones. And when we're in comfort zones, you know, we like our lives, right? So what's going to happen with climate change is we're all going to be pressured in different ways. If you're living in a place where you're away from the sea and up on a mountain, well, all those people who are next to the sea are going to come running up onto your mountain. The fact that we're going to be pushed to change is real interesting. And the change that has a spiritual aspect to it. Because it's a collective experience we're about to have of great magnitude. The Earth, in human terms, has never gone through anything like this. So, yeah, I think the other thing about Oroville is just we're crossroads here. Lots and lots of people come. They come to learn and they come to give. And we've had some experts in all fields who've come here, in philosophy and Sanskrit studies and urban technology and urban design, earth building, yoga, polarity, all kinds of stuff, watsu, you know. It's a place where even if you don't move about a lot, people will come in and they actually give to the community in that respect. And in turn, a lot of people from Oroville go out. And somehow for me, my role, I didn't choose it, but I've always been one of the ambassadors of Oroville in a sense that I don't live here full time. I live here half the year. I come back and forth two or three times a year. I'm never out very long. But I, given my role with the UN and I've done projects for UNESCO, you know, I represent Oroville a lot outside, but I'm also representing communities and NGOs as a whole outside. So it goes beyond the whole thing of Oroville. And sometimes, for instance, when I gave the first keynote at Copenhagen, Oroville wasn't in the picture. Do you know what I mean? I spoke about the larger issues, but two or three days later, we did a TV panel. We were filmed on community and corporations. How can corporations help to finance community, and how can communities become part of the whole corporate structure? So, you know, which is really interesting, and for me, fascinating, because I don't believe business is bad. But I believe in responsive business, and we don't need a cut-off world where there's the right hand and the left hand. We need something that's really, you know, symbiotic. And there I was able to bring in some projects in Oroville and talk about some projects which have an impact in the corporate world. You know, every 3 weeks there's probably more change on Earth than there has been in all the history before. You know, we don't realize it in but in fact, we're really on in the fast lane. And so ways in which we can be creative together are going to be very, very important. And what's interesting when you live in a community is that after you've worked together a while, you become like one body in a way. And when it works well, and what I find with our young people, because I just helped them to organize a festival recently, is that they don't usually say, well, I'll do the food and you do the, you know, the transport. They just start working, and then they say, hey, I need a bit of help with the transport. Who's going to, you know, or can you give me a hand putting up this, this stand or whatever. They start to work together as if it's one body with many hands. And without the ego considerations that a lot of us, like me, have had, because we've come out of like a lot more conventional and traditional background. And the fact of living together from birth on, they're instinctive things you know about the person who's sitting next to you. And that's kind of a great comfort. And especially at a time where we're going to ask to meet inordinate and extraordinary challenges. The thing is, we've come now to this crossroads of science and spirituality, too, where somehow there's a melding of the two forces, you know. And so I feel like we're living in really exciting times. And to have a connection with India is somehow like having a connection with the seed from which a lot of our civilization has emerged. There's great wisdom here, great wisdom, and a tremendous connection to nature. In the philosophy, somehow, this understanding, Mother India, that the earth is our mother, that she nourishes us, this intense respect. And India is, for me, somehow this cradle of civilization. So there's something very, very deep and special about this place, plus music, you know. The sounds, like the om, the ah, all of these are connected to internal parts of the body, which you probably know. And so when you say om, or you say om namo bhagavate, the mother's mantra, which is also a basic mantra in one of the most basic mantras in all of India. It isn't just the mother's mantra. You're actually activating different parts of your body. And a vibrational force that gives you strength, that gives you energy, that gives you a sense of oneness with the universe. And they knew all of these principles thousands and thousands of years ago. So I don't know, there's a lot here and it's fun, and what else can I say? Come to India, come to Oroville, love your life and love others.
This has been an Oroville Radio production, and I'm Emma Cook. Thanks for listening.